message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
And we are grateful to God for his help and his assistance last week on new anointing and new opportunities. Somebody here will walk into brand new opportunities today. Somebody here will access a brand new anointing today. If you are that person, say a louder amen. And we are going to the second part of this series tonight. And I trust the Holy Spirit that he is going to minister in a very powerful way in Jesus' name. You are not destined in life to fail. You are not destined in life to suffer. God did not program you to be on the floor. In fact, you are destined to be an overcomer in life. And I said last week that one of the major factors that makes you to overcome in life is the anointing. And I also said that the major force for the anointing is the Holy Spirit. And last week, amongst other things, I looked at 7 principal functions of the Holy Spirit. In fact, in this series, we are talking about the Holy Spirit. I expanded 7 critical functions of the Holy Spirit. And number one, last week I said the Holy Spirit is a comforter, according to John 16, verse 5 to 7. Can we take care of the echo? Thank you, Jesus. I said the Holy Spirit is a comforter. He comforts you. And number two, I said the Holy Spirit grants us liberty if you are in chains, according to Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. The Holy Spirit is a major force for bringing about liberty, that is the breaking of chains. If somebody is inside chains, the Holy Spirit can break that chain. And tonight, God must break somebody's chain in the name of Jesus. God must break somebody's chain in the name of Jesus. Number three, I said, another principal function of the Holy Spirit is the conviction of sin. When you sin, when you do something wrong, something inside you will say, you have done something wrong. You have done something wrong. And that was when I talked about NEPA bill. I said, the Holy Spirit will tell you, you have connected light which you did not pay for. How many of you remember that last week? I said, the Holy Spirit will tell you, you have done something wrong. And then something will make you, if a man gets to a level whereby he does something wrong, or she does something and she doesn't feel it, the person is already like a dead person. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. And number four, last week I said, another primary function of the Holy Spirit is that it distinguishes you, like it distinguished Daniel. Where I also prayed extensively for those whose name were called Daniel. I said, your name will not only be called Daniel, you will be able to have result like the Daniel of the Bible. The Holy Spirit distinguishes you, according to, like he distinguished Daniel. Among all the presidents and governors, Daniel's case was special. Number five function of the Holy Spirit, like I said last week, is that it is a teacher. He is a teacher. John 14, 26, 1 John 2, 7, like I quoted last week. He is a teacher. He teaches us. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. He tells us what to do. John 14, 26, 1 John 2, verse 7. Also, number 6, like I said last week, the Holy Spirit directs you to opportunities. He's a director. He's the ultimate director. He directs on what to do. He directs you on the path to take. He tells you the business to do and the business not to do. He tells you the action to take and what not to take. I remember very well, many years ago, just before this ministry started, when God called us to start the work. And one day I was in Lagos, in one of my son's house. He just got married and I was in Lagos, so he pleaded with me to spend some time in his house. And he was staying at a topmost floor, like a 2 or 3 story building. So he was staying at a flat on top. So they gave me a room there to stay. And at night, as I was studying the Bible and trying to pray, God told me, if you can trust your life to the person that built, the Holy Spirit speaking to me, life. If you can trust your life to somebody that built this thing, a man put cement and iron together to build this place, can't you trust me, your creator, with your life? That was the day I knew that there was no turning back in this work. The Holy Spirit directs you. He tells you what you are to do. He tells you the path you are to take. And I speak to somebody today, you will no longer lack direction. I say we no longer lack direction. That's one of the major problems of our society now. We just call you, come here, follow me to this place, you follow. You, let us go here, you go there. You, take this thing, leak it, you leak it. And then the destiny begins to leak. Like silencer will be leaking. Or like gas is always leaking. And number 7, where I stopped last week, is that the Holy Spirit gives wisdom. The Holy Spirit is a giver of wisdom. And I spoke to us extensively on how the Holy Spirit gave unto Joshua wisdom. That he was even greater than Moses. And I think, I'm not sure I quoted that scripture, James chapter 1 verse 5. If any man lacketh wisdom, let him ask from God that giveth unto all men liberally and unbraideth not. So, our God is a God that gives wisdom. And I'm sure that there's somebody here today, God is going to give you wisdom in the name of Jesus. So we are going to move quickly today to other functions of the Holy Spirit. Because you need to know what the Holy Spirit can do so that you can crave for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We have already told you 7 of them. Now we move on to number 8. The Holy Spirit intercedes for the saints. Romans chapter 8 verse 26 to 27. Romans chapter 8 verse 26 to 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Somebody say, according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit is a intercessor. He intercedes for us according to the will of God. Many of us, what we actually need, we don't know that that's what we need. Some think that they need car. They don't need car. They need job. When they get a job, cars will come. Some think that they need to travel abroad. No, they need to reach above. When you reach above, then you can travel anywhere you want. So you must understand, ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit is an intercessor. He practically prays for us. And when we are talking about the Holy Spirit, we are not talking about just a spirit or a bed. The Holy Spirit is not a bed. The Holy Spirit is not, the Holy Spirit is not a white dove. We only use that to represent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a human being. Just like I pray for you, the Holy Spirit intercedes for you. He intercedes for you with groanings which cannot be uttered. And that's why you must befriend the Holy Spirit. Turn to your neighbor and say, befriend the Holy Spirit. Befriend the Holy Spirit. And today, I see God receiving fresh prayers and intercessions from the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. I see many of us receiving fresh intercessions from the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. You know, sometimes you don't pray for some things and some things just come to you. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody interceded for you, and that is the Holy Spirit. He knows what you need and he prayed until God gave it to you. The pastor of the biggest church in the world, Paul Yonggi Cho, at that time, he's retired now, said, he wrote a book called Holy Spirit, My Senior Partner. And I read that book many years ago, maybe about 8, 9, 10 years ago. And I was just looking at it. A pastor of that church of that size says the Holy Spirit is the partner that he's working with. He's the one that is praying for him and making the work to work. As from today, you will not lack prayers and intercessions from the Holy Spirit. Number 9, function of the Holy Spirit is that he gives oil of joy. Somebody say oil of joy. In Psalm 45 verse 7, you will see verse 7, please. 45, 7. Thank you, Jesus. Thou lovest righteousness, and thou hatest wickedness. Therefore, God thy God had anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellow. So the Holy Spirit, also in Isaiah 61 verse 3, Isaiah chapter 61 verse 3, the Bible explains to us, it says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. That's Holy Spirit now. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. The Holy Spirit, one of the major functions of the Holy Spirit is to give you joy. The Holy Spirit gives you joy. And there's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is momentary. Happiness is about what is happening. If you buy a car, you are happy. If you have a baby, you are happy. If you get a job, you are happy. But if you lose the job, you are sad. It's different from joy. Joy is constant. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something that once the Holy Spirit deposits it there, your life can never be the same again. And joy is very, very superior to happiness. And there are some benefits of joy. I'll just give you two of them because of the shortage of time. I want us to have more time to pray. Benefits of joy. Number one, joy bats good health. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dry the bones. So joy brings about, joy is like something that gives you good health. Proverbs 18:14. Joy always, when you are joyful, you just assess good health. You say, it's the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Once you are sad, you are calling for sickness. That's why when you see somebody that is very, very sad, you are seeing somebody that is very, very near his grave. It's a person, once somebody is sad, and as a pastor, I try to pacify them and talk to them and encourage them. And you see that the person decides to permanently stay in sorrow. I separate myself. Because association is contagious. It's contagious. It's somebody that I know very well. When I speak to the person on the phone, the person always speaks in English all the time. But after the person moved around and started relating with some new friends, I noticed that every time, like 95% of when the person talks is now Yoruba. Because others are Yoruba-inclined people. So within that short time, the association has affected the person's... You know, that's the way life is. When you associate with those who are always sad, then you'll be sad. That's why you must watch your friends. A wounded spirit bears or bats unbearable afflictions. And when the Holy Spirit comes, joy comes. And when joy comes, sickness goes. Anytime you are feeling sick, don't be sad. Once you are sad, there's no way doctor will not collect money from you. Once you are depressed, there's no way doctor will not collect money from you. Because sadness will prolong the sickness. Sadness, did you hear what I just said? Sadness will prolong sickness. And that's why sickness moves from sickness to depression, from depression to oppression, from oppression to tension, from tension to hypertension, from hypertension to graveyard. But that will never be your portion in Jesus' name. A man of joy always escapes sickness and disease. A man of joy always experiences good health. Always. That's why as a wife, do all you can to make your husband a very happy man. As a husband, I mean, when I counsel men, I always tell them, don't make this woman sad. Because when you see a sad woman, she suddenly becomes very, very old. And most of the time when a woman is sad, it's her husband that makes her sad. Pray for every man here and those who are watching me. God will give you grace to be a joy giver in Jesus' name. And every woman here today, God will make you a joy giver in Jesus' name. May you not be a sadist. You know, there are some people, they call them sadists. You know people they call sadists? Sadists are people that when everybody is laughing, when they come in, everybody must change their mood to frowning. Sadists are people that never laugh when there's, even when 1,000 people are laughing to a joke, a sadist alone will not laugh. And sadists always end up in the sand. when you in sadness, you end in the sand. May the Lord give us understanding. Benefits of joy. And still on number 9A, good health. Number 9B is strength. Joy gives strength. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10B. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Anybody that you see that is happy will be strong. Sad people are always weak. When you see sad people, they are always tired. They didn't do anything. They wake up, they sleep tired, they wake up tired. And they sleep longer than others. Yet, very tired. I just feel very tired. The reason is because once you are sad, there's no way you can receive strength. Joy brings strength. When you are joyful, every time you have strength, you have energy. Major thing that the devil uses to afflict a lot of Christians is that he tries to make something to depress them so that they can be very weak, very tired, unable to pray, unable to sing. When song is going on, to dance becomes a burden. They become like soaked gari, just become heavy. To carry the leg is a problem. To carry the hand is a problem. That will never be your portion in Jesus' name. So when you are joyful, you have strength. Joyful people, they can do 3 jobs at the same time. They can do 5 jobs at the same time. They are doing everything, all that. No complaining. Always doing it well because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always gives us joy. And today I pray that today there will be a release of the Spirit of joy upon your life and upon your family in Jesus' name. And this joy will birth new strength inside of you. I say this joy will birth new strength inside of you. Can you imagine a man like Joseph inside the cell and he was still asking others, what is the problem? Why are you looking sad? Inside the cell. I can't imagine it. How can somebody be inside the cell and even have time to ask somebody else, is there any problem? And then he asks the butler, the baker, what is the problem? Why are you looking sad? Why are you looking depressed? And they said, this is our dream. Then he interpreted. He said, don't be sad. Don't worry yourself. God will give you the interpretation of the dream. And there was no account that Joseph was ever a weak man. No wonder the wife of Potiphar wanted to get him at all costs. Because he was always, maybe Potiphar's husband was a man who was like an Idi Amin. How many of you remember Idi Amin? Always boning everywhere. And the wife cannot come near. When the wife wants to come near him, he sees his face very hard. He turns to that boy who is very, very smart. May the Lord give us understanding. I say, may the Lord give us understanding. May the Spirit of joy come on everyone here tonight in Jesus' name. May the Spirit of joy come on everyone here tonight in Jesus' name. Sadness will never be mentioned with your name again in Jesus' name. And number 10, function of the Holy Spirit is that it injects in us the love of God. The Holy Spirit injects into us the love of God. Romans chapter 5 verse 5. Romans chapter 5. I'll be reading verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. Can you see that? Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. It is the Holy Spirit that broadens the love of God in your heart. When the love of God is absent in a man's heart, love for God will be absent. When the Holy Spirit is absent, the love of God is absent. When the love of God is absent, good deeds will be absent. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has he come to the heart of man what God has in store for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. So our God is a God that respects those that love them. God is searching for lovers. He search, only handful. Because many only come to God because of what he can give. Lovers of God don't come to him because of what he can give. They come to him because they have a passion for him. And passion for God, love for God, is an offshoot of the Holy Spirit. That's why sometimes we pastors, we pray, God, let these people serve God. As long as the Holy Spirit is not there, they can't do it effectively. As long as they are not yet baptized with the Holy Spirit, they can't love God like they should. Because the Holy Spirit is what pushes you to love God. The Holy Spirit pushes you to do the things of God. Pushes you to church. Pushes you into worship. We'll talk about that more in other series. What ignites the Holy Spirit. We'll let you know that. Holy Spirit pushes you to do things for God. Holy Spirit pushes you to give. Holy Spirit pushes you to give. My wife loves God so much. But some of the things I do for God sometimes, I might not be able to tell her because of the massiveness of the size. Because people that truly love God, you won't bother to ask your wife or your husband, please, sir, do I need to give Isaac to God? Did Abraham ask Sarah if he was going to give Isaac to God? All this asking your wife, my dear, do you think that I should drop this 10,000 for God? You don't want to give, you are a stingy man. Ah, you are bothering to ask your wife if you give to God. You would have given to God before you even say, my wife, I gave to God, Jerry. I just remember that I just gave that thing to God. That's how to do it. Lovers of God don't consult. Hello, mommy, I just said I should ask you, what do you think? I'm about to sow a seed to you, God, now. Yes, of 2,000. Do you think it's okay, or I should reduce it because of our upcoming festival in December? Your mommy will say, don't bother to do it. Reduce it, Jerry. But lovers of God, they would have... Abraham did not waste time at all. He said, oh boy, carry your load. You boys, let us go. Carry wood. We are going to sacrifice to God. He did not even tell Sarah, I'm coming. Because Sarah might tell him, oh, don't go. That is what the Holy Spirit does. Holy Spirit pushes you to love God the more. He pushes you to wake up at night. He pushes you to worship. He pushes you to give. He pushes you to sacrifice. He pushes you to take risk. There was a time the devil tried to attack my health in this church, and I couldn't walk. My wife knows about it. About 2 or 3 days, I couldn't walk. But anybody that sees me, I will smile. But I couldn't walk. My leg I could not walk at all. Nothing. I just woke up in the morning, so that I could not carry my leg again. This was like 2 years ago or thereabout. On Sunday, after I prepared the message on Saturday in pains, on Sunday, I was about to leave my seat here. I could not move my leg. My wife was just looking at me. Are you sure you can really preach today? And I said in my heart, if this is the last time I will preach this sermon. So I did accord to the... Anybody that was looking at me said, Pastor Man, Shaka Kolini Ke. So I climbed that place that day. You know, and most of the time, I normally start my messages with worship and praise. So I praised that day, but I did not leave this place. I only did like this. I did praise, but I did not leave. Nobody knew. But by the time I finished that message that day, devil has jacked back to hell. Lovers of God, they take risk for God because of the Holy Spirit. I say, if I will die, if this is where I will die, I say, God, I'm okay. But God said, boy, you are not dying yet. And can I tell you this? I'm not dying at all now, at all. At all, at all, at all, at all, at all, at all. I must see you become very, very great. I will see you become very, very great. Unfortunately, those that sent that arrow now, they are somewhere suffering it now. Because I made sure that they got a taste of it. May your enemy get a taste of the evil they are planning against you. The evil the wicked are planning against you will come upon them and upon their generation. Those who want your death now, I decree their death now. Can I hear your loudest amen? Can I hear your loudest amen? Can I hear your loudest amen? So the Holy Spirit injects love. Let's look quickly. Open your Bibles with me to Matthew 22, 37 to 40. Matthew 22, from verse 37 to 40. I know that somebody is here tonight whose life will never be the same again in the name of Jesus. I say there's somebody here tonight whose life will never be the same again in the name of Jesus. And you must realize that the Holy Spirit is very important in injecting the love of God. Now look at this. In Matthew 22, 37 to 40, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Can we, please? And Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Please look at this very well. Go back to that verse again. Jesus said, thou shalt love God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Go on. And this is the first and great commandment. Please stop there. Stop there. Do you know that if you don't have the Holy Spirit, it's impossible to love God like this? God said, love me. How? All your heart. All your mind. Also, I think in Deuteronomy 6 verse 5 or so, the same scripture but in another form. You should love. Except a person has the Holy Spirit, he can't love God like this with all his heart, all his mind, everything inside of him. Now, look at this. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God, God bless you, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Okay, what is left? God said, the way I want you to love me is with all thy heart, all thy soul and all your might, all your strength, use it to love me. Bible said it. I'm not the one that said it. How can you love God like this except something comes on you? It is impossible. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. All this, I want to love God more. Oh, my heart is panting after God. You need the Holy Spirit to help you to love God like you really desire. May that Holy Spirit come upon you in the name of Jesus. May that Spirit come upon you tonight afresh in the name of Jesus. May that Spirit come upon you afresh tonight in the name of Jesus. And what is the proof of the Holy Spirit in the life of a man? The major proof that the Holy Spirit is in the life of a man is speaking in tongues. Acts chapter 2 verse 4. Acts chapter 2 verse 4. Acts, the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 4. And as they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If the Holy Spirit is in you, the evidence is tongues. If the Holy Spirit is lacking, tongues will be lacking. Because tongues is the heavenly language. It's not a language of this place. It's a language of heaven. It's not a language of the earth. And so when that strange spirit called the Holy Spirit comes on you, it puts upon you that special language, which is called speaking in tongues. Until you speak in tongues, there's no guarantee that the Holy Spirit is present in you. And I pray that tonight, God is going to baptize somebody tonight with that grace in the name of Jesus. Quickly tonight, what are the benefits of speaking in tongues? I'll just give you three of them. Number one, we can pray according to God's will. Romans 8:27. When you speak in tongues, you can pray according to God's will. Many times when you pray, your prayer is according to what you desire. It says, and he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When you pray in tongues, you are praying the will of God. Some are praying, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, pay my rent. Whereas what God actually wants them, what God wants them to pray for is that, oh God, oh God, oh God, don't let my co-tenant in this place kill me inside this rented apartment. It is the Holy Spirit that can pray it. You are praying, oh God, I need my rent. And God said, no, they don't even want you to pay rent. They want you to die inside this place. But in a very, very wicked world. And it takes God and it takes Holy Spirit to reveal the intent of the heart of man to you. If God were to open the heart of people and to show you what they wish you, hey, everybody will run out of here. You see some people's heart, even your fellow brothers and sisters. Number two, benefit of speaking in tongues is with tongues you thank God well. 1 Corinthians 14:17. When you speak in tongues, you are able to thank God well. Sometimes when we thank God, you're thanking God casually. You're thanking God is so casual. But when you thank God and say, for thou verily givest thanks well, but others is not edified. Say, for thou givest thanks well. When you worship in tongues, you thank God well. You start from the earlier verses, you understand what I'm saying better. When you worship in tongues, when you praise in tongues, you thank God well. That's why when you see a lot of our worshippers, when they worship God, they worship in tongues. They pray in tongues. They speak in else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupy the room? Now, it's talking basically about every one of us worshipping God and worshipping him in tongues. I pray tonight there will be a baptism of the Spirit of God upon everyone in the name of Jesus. Number three benefit of speaking in tongues is that it charges you. Somebody say charge. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 14. So charge means edify. Another word for charge is that you are edified. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So when you are a man or woman that prays in tongues, it charges your spirit. It charges your spirit unto edification. Your mind is charged. Your battery is charged. And tonight, I see God charging somebody up in the name of Jesus. I see God charging somebody up in the name of Jesus. As I round up tonight, how to receive the Holy Spirit. Number one, how to receive the Holy Spirit. Number one is be born again. Acts chapter 2 verse 38. If you want the Holy Spirit, you need to be born again. Then Peter said unto him, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent of your sins. If you are stealing, steal no more. If you are lying, lie no more. If you are sleeping with another person's husband, stop it. If you are sleeping with another person's wife, stop it. If you are cheating people with biro, stop it. Anything you are doing that is not right, stop it. Then you are ready. Any man or woman that wants the Holy Spirit must repent. If you are still going, leaving your church and going up and down to faith prophets here and there, stop it. If you are still going to Babalawo, stop it. If you are still sleeping in your boyfriend's house, stop it. Stop it. You can't be talking of speaking in tongues when you are kissing strangers. Your saliva is mixing with saliva of them when the guy has 8 other girlfriends somewhere else. Anyone that wants to receive the Holy Spirit must repent. Number 2, how to receive the Holy Spirit is test for the Holy Spirit. Psalm 63 verse 1. Psalm 63 verse 1. Anybody that wants the Holy Spirit must test for the Holy Spirit. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. That is what they call test. You can't get the Holy Spirit into you until you are yearning for him. You can't get the Holy Spirit into your spirit until you are hungry for the Holy Spirit. Your spirit wants something that is more than what you already get, what you are getting presently. There's a test in you. You know that you can get more. You can achieve more than you are achieving now. You know that something is just not complete. You feel an emptiness somehow. And you must test for the Holy Spirit. You must test for the Holy Spirit. And number 3, where we stop tonight, how to receive the Holy Spirit. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:13. Luke 11:13. Don't just assume that the Holy Spirit will come. You must ask for it. The Holy Spirit says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good things, good gifts unto your children, how much more? Someone say, how much more? How much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Matthew 7:7. Say, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. So when you ask for the Holy Spirit, he will give him to you. And I must tell you, no pastor gives the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the giver of the Spirit. No pastor can say, I give you that Holy Spirit. No. It is God himself that gives that Spirit to man. And tonight, he will fill you afresh in the name of Jesus. I say, God will fill you afresh in the name of Jesus. I say, God will fill you afresh in the name of Jesus. God will fill you afresh in the name of Jesus. As from today, no more emptiness around you. No more emptiness around your destiny. No more emptiness in your spiritual life. No more emptiness in your prayer life. No more emptiness in your situation and circumstances. I speak to you tonight that a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit is coming upon your life in the name of Jesus. Your heart will begin to pant after God. Your soul will begin to pant after God. Your spirit will begin to pant after God. The days of spiritual dryness are over. The days of spiritual dryness are over. The days of spiritual dryness are over. From today, your heart will pant after God. A new desire for worship comes for you. A new desire for prayer comes for you. A new desire to stand to pray in the night comes for you. A new desire for service comes for you. The spirit of emptiness, the spirit of spiritual wretchedness is hereby destroyed in every life in the name of Jesus. From today, God will help you the more. So shall it be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.